It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Several Western Pennsylvania schools are considering or actively creating bathroom policies for transgender students. While many districts have been receptive to the policies, some parents have expressed concerns. Today, we're examining the issue and what a policy could look like in schools. In this first segment, I'm joined by attorneys Ira Weiss and Amy Zundel, attorneys with the firm Weiss Burkhart Kramer. They're working with districts in the region to develop policies, and they say it's best to be proactive when it comes to implementing these strategies. Ira Weiss, Amy Zundel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you.
We'll take your questions and comments at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essphgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essphgh. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. And I would start, Ira Weiss and Amy Zundel, by asking for people who don't fully understand this or just haven't been paying attention, define for us what it means to be transgender.
Absolutely. Transgender students, we're talking about students here, obviously, so we'll focus on the students. But transgender individuals are students who identify with a sex other than the sex that they were assigned at birth. I mean, very simply, that's the definition that we're working with.
Okay, so let's begin by, once we've established that, looking at what you're advising your clients to do in terms of creating bathroom policies and maybe policies that go beyond just addressing the issues that involve using the bathrooms and those things that happen during the course of a school day. Ira?
Well, the important thing to know here is that all of this legally has its genesis in something called Title IX, which is a part of the Civil Rights Act. Title IX is most known for opening the door to women's sports, and we all know how prevalent that is today. That's all because of Title IX, which requires non-discrimination in school programs on the basis of gender.
And that goes back decades.
It goes back decades. The Office of Civil Rights, which is part of the Department of Education, administers and oversees this, and has taken the position that protection of transgendered students is part of Title IX and is the obligation of school districts who are the recipients of federal funds. So that's how this legally sort of got started. And now we're at the point where OCR, as it's called, the Office of Civil Rights, has made it plain that districts have an affirmative obligation to protect the rights of these students. This is a civil rights issue fundamentally, and must take steps to ensure that their rights are protected, they're safe. And out of that, we have developed, principally in the School District of Pittsburgh, but working with others as well, a policy to address these issues.
So we're talking about something that, as we mentioned, goes back decades, and it was, I want to say it was 1972, thereabouts, but definitely during the Nixon administration, actually, when Title IX came into effect. But that was over 40 years ago, and now this is an issue. Why is it an issue now? Why wasn't it addressed earlier as part of Title IX? Amy, you're nodding, so I'll let you respond.
I'm nodding because you're exactly right. It was 1972 when the education amendments were passed and Title IX came into play. And as Ira had mentioned, it's really truly evolved over the years with, I think, the culture, and certainly laws always are evolving. The base responsibility of entities that receive federal funds is to ensure that individuals are not discriminated on the basis of sex. That's, very brief. The way the law reads is very brief. And so where we see it play out is with the Office for Civil Rights guidelines. And the Office for Civil Rights issues guideline documents periodically most recently, they've issued several that deal with the topic of transgender individuals. And so I think that's why it's becoming a little bit more in the forefront.
So in the past, what would a transgender student do? Simply just not bring it up? Or if it was brought up, how did the schools handle it? Because this is still evolving, but even before the discussion about a policy for dealing with bathroom issues came up, there were, as I understand it, some accommodations being made for some students in some schools.
You're absolutely right. Our office, in working with all of our school district clients, we have advised school districts on this issue for many years. And in working, number one, when the issue does come up, we try to take a student-centered focus, in addition to knowing what the law says, knowing what the guidelines say, and complying with those guidelines. So it's not a new issue. It's an issue that is newly in the forefront, I think, because of the federal cases that are coming down that we're seeing, most recently from the Fourth Circuit. But the law has not changed since 1972. The guidelines have evolved since then. And I think school districts are reacting to that and trying to stay ahead of it, as we've advised.
And you're both lawyers, and you're looking at this from a legal standpoint. But is this issue about more than the fear of being sued, Ira?
Well, yes, I think it is. I view it, and those that are involved with this, I think, view it as a civil rights issue. These students have the same rights as all other students. I can analogize it roughly to the 50s, when the Supreme Court said that schools had to be desegregated. There were people then that said, well, you can't make me go to school with people that are not my color. And the law was that you could not discriminate that way. Similarly, this is a civil rights issue. It's an individual rights issue. These students have the right to live their lives free of harassment and as normal an environment as possible.
Let me jump in. Sure. If Brown versus the Board of Education was the case that changed everything in the 50s when it came to not discriminating against students on the basis of race or color, have we had that case yet in terms of making things equal for transgender students, or is it coming?
Well, I think we haven't as recently as within the last 10 days. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which sits in Richmond and is frankly a conservative court, issued a decision involving the Gloucester County School Board that basically said that it deferred to the Office of Civil Rights in its position and interpretation of Title IX to protect the rights of these transgender students. Now, I will say that the state of Virginia, not surprisingly probably, has petitioned for what's called re-argument before the full court. This was decided by a panel of three judges. But in terms of the issue that's before us, I would say this decision, which will more than likely end up at a higher court or from some circuit, will be that decision. The issue is really the power of the Office of Civil Rights to interpret Title IX. I mean, it's a fairly esoteric legal issue. In practical terms, what the court is saying is the Office of Civil Rights is charged with interpreting Title IX, creating regulations, and enforcing it, and we will defer to that agency.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with attorneys Ira Weiss and Amy Zundel. They're working with districts in the region to develop policies regarding transgender students and say it's best to be proactive when it comes to implementing these strategies. What do you say? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. What are the Pittsburgh Public Schools in the process of doing, Amy?
Yeah, I can certainly speak to that. Excuse me. The Pittsburgh Public Schools, as of just last month, had proposed a policy for through its traditional process, which is to have the policy committee, which is a subcommittee of the board, two members plus the board president sit on that committee along with administrators. And one of the board members brought it to our attention that we really, as a committee, needed to look at providing a policy that is protective. And what the committee utilized as a jumping off point for that policy was a policy that's been in place for 2 years now at Brashear High School, a written policy that they have implemented at their school, truly without incident, is what I'm told. And it was a model, we felt, to serve the whole entire district. And so the plan moving forward is we are going to be presenting the proposed policy on May 2nd at a public board workshop. We've invited public comment from the community, and I believe just last evening there was comment on both sides, and we think that that's healthy. We welcome that, but it's an exciting time, and I think that board members are very excited to be looking at the proposed policy that we have.
And we'll be talking with representatives from Brashear High School about developing that policy. Should these policies extend to locker rooms, et cetera? Because some places have it as a bathroom policy, but it's not extended to the locker rooms. Others are looking at extending it, and I believe some have already done that. What are you advising your clients to do?
Absolutely. We've said in our office and just in talking with clients, this goes well beyond bathrooms. I think bathrooms, it's you typically might think this is a bathroom issue, but truly it extends to all sex-specific facilities. That's restrooms, locker rooms, changing areas. It also extends to overnight school field trip facilities. And the questions have, like I said, Paul, have not been new. They've been coming over the years, and we've been advising clients consistent with OCR regulations and guidelines. But the policies we're proposing, that they really do need to speak to every area that you need to provide guidance to administrators on, okay, how to handle these topics when they come up.
What do you say to the parents and those who have concerns and believe that by creating these policies for transgender students, that this particular bathroom usage violates the personal privacy of others?
Well,
that's really the $64,000 question.
It is. We explain to parents that what the legal requirements are. It's also been our experience that the problems with these policies, the reactions to them, the resistance to them, come from the adults and not the students. Our experience is students are okay with this. They adjust to it. There are many times they're aware of it before anyone else is, that someone is presenting themselves as in a gender other than that they were assigned at birth. But our experience is that the parents react to it, and we try to work with them and explain it to them. But obviously, there is some level of resistance.
On that point, let's take a call at 412-246-2002 from Lisa in the North Hills. Hi, Lisa. Welcome. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. I did want to chime in on that and say that, well, as I listened to you, I wanted to also react to something. I feel as though sometimes people who have such a strong negative reaction to this already have a negative reaction to those who are different, and they're basically presenting those others as being alien and somehow not human and frightening. And I do want to respect the rights of our transgender students, but I don't want parents and other students to feel that their own rights are being trampled upon if they're not transgendered. So it's just very tricky, but I just feel that so many people who are getting up in arms, being afraid of violence by men or boys in this case, who are saying they feel like girls that day in a bathroom. I just feel that so many of these people already have at least from my experience from who is posting these things online, they already have an aversion to those whom they think are different or other or not straight. So we don't want to cultivate that in our schools. We don't want to cultivate this xenophobia. But how do we do this without getting people angry and more afraid?
It's a very good question, Lisa. And I think maybe it speaks to some of the misconceptions that are out there of transgender students. So is there some education involved in this that you as lawyers must engage in?
There's two points that I want to make sure we make in response to this, because it's something that we're obviously hearing. We know that just recently Pine Richland School District has looked at a similar policy and they ensured a community forum. We're trying to do the same thing and engage the public in this way that we can answer their questions, because they're valid questions. We understand that all students have a right to bodily privacy, and that's the issue that we're truly speaking to. What we have advised and what the actual proposed district policy in Pittsburgh states is that any student that's uncomfortable using a restroom or a locker room with a transgender student who's been identified, that they will have the right to a safe, non-stigmatizing alternative. And most of the time, that's either a nurse's restroom, it's a staff restroom, or another unisex restroom. Because as we see new buildings come up and building construction and renovation, there has been an increase in the addition of, private restrooms. Those are two points that I wanted to make sure got made.
And so we're not necessarily going to see what I think Lisa was saying, that if a male student wants to say, well, I feel like a girl today and I'm going to use the girls' restroom, that there will be policies in place to prevent that kind of thing from happening. One other thing I wanted to bring up before we come to time on this segment is that a federal court, as I'm sure you both know, a federal court in Pittsburgh last year upheld a University of Pittsburgh policy that requires students to use restrooms and locker rooms that correspond to their biological sex. How does that impact this discussion going forward and future cases?
I would suspect that in light of the Fourth Circuit decision, that decision will be at an appropriate time reexamined, because colleges and universities also are under the jurisdiction of Title IX. So I think I would expect that to be revisited in some fashion.
And how do you, as a lawyer always anticipating the next move in the chess game, how do you anticipate the University of Pittsburgh reacting? Will Pitt fight this? They were pretty vehement about it when it came up, I think it was 4 years ago.
Well, I think Pitt has the answer to that, but I think that in light of this decision, if this Fourth Circuit decision stands, and I expect that it will, I would expect they will be advised accordingly. Again, I can't predict what Pitt is likely to do. I will also say that 4 years is a long time, and as Amy has pointed out and you've mentioned, there's been an evolution of position on this. I think to draw an analogy, not that it's exactly the same, but 4 years ago, 10 years ago, if you did a polling on same-sex marriage, you would find a very different result than you would today. So attitudes change. I think the other thing that changes is that when people intermingle with transgender people, they discover that they're people, and which goes to the whole civil rights issue. They're people like everybody else.
We've been talking with attorneys Ira Weiss and Amy Zundel from the firm Weiss, Burkhart, Kramer. They're working with districts in the region to develop policies regarding the use of bathrooms by transgender students and also locker rooms and other facilities as well. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for
having
us.
Coming up, what a policy could look like in schools and the view of those opposed to transgender bathroom usage. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're discussing the issue of bathroom policies for transgender students. What should they be? How should they be implemented? And the concerns some parents have about them. Pittsburgh Public Schools recently completed a draft policy that includes everything from which bathrooms a transgender student is allowed to use to what name is included on their official school documents. Brashear High School has had a policy for transgender student bathroom usage in place since 2014. Devin Brown is a teacher at Brashear and an advisor for the school's Gay Straight Alliance. He joins us in studio. He's one of those who was instrumental in developing the policy at Brashear. Devin Brown, good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also joining us in studio is Jason Landau Goodman, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Youth Congress, a statewide LGBT youth organization. Jason Landau Goodman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And with us by phone is Matt Sharp. He is legal counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, who believes that creating policies for transgender student bathroom usage violates the personal privacy of other students. Matt Sharp, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll take your questions and comments at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Devin, let's start with you. What prompted your school, Brashear, to look into crafting a policy for transgender students?
Several years ago, we had a student who was coming in as a freshman, a really brave, interesting young woman named Avery, who was coming to Brashear as a freshman. Avery identified as transgender. We knew about it. At that point, we had a handful of other transgender students who were not very out. They were out to me and a couple other staff members, but not to the school at large. But Avery was out. And at that point, it was the spring of the year before her freshman year of high school, and several of us sat down and decided we needed to have a plan in place to make sure all of our transgender students were supported accurately and adequately.
And so walk us through the process of creating this kind of policy. How do you do it, especially when you're not a lawyer,
right?
But you're dealing with legal issues?
Right. So we call on people who have more expertise than the French and Russian teacher that I am. So, for example, the first person I called was Vanessa Davis from Thrive, an organization that supports GSAs in the region. And I said, you know, Vanessa, what do we do? How do we do this? So Vanessa was really supportive, and she came out and she listened to myself, to our principal, Kimberly Safran, Megan Perfetti, who's a health teacher at our school, as well as the supervisor for the whole district. And several of us sat there and we tried to figure out what our needs were. Vanessa paid attention. Vanessa took copious notes and came back to us a couple weeks later with a plan, what developed into our policy. And that's what we put into place in the fall.
And does it extend to locker rooms and other facilities?
Yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive policy. It's the basis of the policy that the district policy has become.
Right.
It addresses locker rooms, it addresses bathrooms, it addresses pronoun usage and who is out to whom and teachers that are involved in the support group as well.
How were you able to do this independent of the Pittsburgh Public Schools? Did someone from the Pittsburgh Public Schools contact you and say, this needs to be done district-wide, hold off?
Not really. We did involve Pittsburgh Public Schools. We reached out to the Assistant Superintendent of Student Services, Dr. Daraware Allen, who was amazingly supportive. She was also instrumental at helping us do some of the legwork that came before this whole transgender issue came to the fore, when we were dealing with just sort of LGBT issues in general at Brashear and throughout the district. And so she was really supportive from a district standpoint of what we were doing and sort of pointing us in the right direction.
So, again, just to be clear, how exactly does it work?
Well, students who are transgender that go to Brashear, they are, you know, we support them to be the student that they are, the human being, the person that they are. If they are, we are very sensitive to the people that they are out to or not, including they might not be out to their parents. They might not want to be out to the entire school. So one of the first things we do is we sit them down with a social worker, and the social worker sort of puts together a plan. The plan is pretty comprehensive. Yes, it looks at bathroom usage. Yes, it looks at locker room usage, but it also looks at issues of safety, issues of support that they get from the staff. It looks at pronoun usage. It's pretty comprehensive. and then we implement that plan.
Matt Sharp, legal counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom. You've expressed concerns the organization has about these policies being put in place for transgender students. What are the concerns and the reservations that you and the people you represent have?
Absolutely. Well, first, you know, I really commend the school for reaching out to the kids, the transgender kids, offering them support, counseling, whatever they need. That's fantastic, and we support that, especially when it comes to any kid that's feeling bullied or harassed. Every student should be protected against that. But our concerns deal with the privacy issue, that courts across the country, including the court that has jurisdiction over Pittsburgh, has recognized that there's a right to privacy, and that when students are forced to share showers and locker rooms and restrooms where they're in states of undress with someone of the opposite biological sex, that right to privacy is violated. And so what the University of Pittsburgh last year did is that they had a policy that said, you know, a transgender student will allow you to use what name you want, dress how you want, even enroll in classes. I think it was a weightlifting class designated for the opposite sex. But when it comes to restrooms and showers and locker rooms, we've got to protect the privacy rights of all students. And so we'll make available accommodations and offer transgender students or any student uncomfortable with communal restrooms and showers the option of using single-stall facilities. And a federal court looked at that and said, that's right. It protects the privacy of everybody. It's constitutional. And so that was upheld. And that is a decision that has precedence for the Pittsburgh School District. So our view is, let's protect everybody's privacy, keep communal restrooms based on biological sex, and offer accommodations to transgender students or anyone else that desires greater privacy. That's a win-win for everybody, ensures that every student has their privacy protected.
Go with you, Devin, here, because you're shaking your head. You're not in agreement with Mr. Sharp.
It's not a win-win for everybody. It's not a win-win for the transgender students who are feeling stigmatized because they're being required to use a particular restroom that doesn't align with the gender that they feel that they are, And so that's where it's not a win-win. I think it's also, you know, this issue of privacy that's being bantered around smacks of the same rhetoric that was used in the 50s when we talked about black people using quote-unquote white restrooms. It smacks of the rhetoric of the 90s when gay people, when people didn't feel comfortable having gay servicemen and women serving openly in the military. This is not a win-win for everyone. This is a win-win for one group of people at the exclusion, to the exclusion of our transgender students.
What have the students at Brashear have there been any issues? Have any students said, echoed the concerns of Mr. Sharp and said that I'm not comfortable, I don't want to be in this situation? If a student comes to you and says that, how do you deal with it?
Right. We need to respect all of the students, including a student who might be uncomfortable, just like we have to respect the comfort level of our transgender students, which is paramount here, especially with a group of students who have high rates of homelessness, high rates of suicide, high rates of abuse at home. So we have to be sensitive to everyone. So if a non-transgender student comes up to one of our administrators and says, I'm not comfortable with this situation, absolutely, that student is afforded the same accommodations that a transgender student might request. They have access to gender-neutral bathrooms. They have access to privacy curtains in the locker room if they want it. We can make accommodations for cisgender students just like we can for transgender students.
Matt Sharp, how do you feel about what Devin is saying with regard to the accommodations that would be made for students who have concerns? And have you – I know you represent parents that have concerns, but, in many cases the students seem to be okay with this. Are you representing, or have you spoken with students at schools who say this is a problem for them?
Oh, absolutely we have. We've spoken with numerous students across the country and in Pennsylvania and in the Pittsburgh area that have serious problems with this. But when they go to school, what they're being told by administrators is essentially, there's something wrong if you think that there's an issue with this. And so it's these students that are wanting to protect their privacy that are feeling bullied and harassed. They're being called bigots. They see what's going on across the country and what the news media and organizations are saying against those that are wanting to protect common sense privacy rights. They're seeing it in North Carolina and all these places. And so we're hearing from students that are saying, I don't want to speak up because I know what happens when I go to school. I know what my teachers and school officials think and say about us that just want our privacy protected. And consistently, these students say, we don't think anybody should be picked on or bullied or stigmatized or harassed. They're friends with transgender students, and they want them to have great opportunities. But they also recognize that there is a fundamental right to bodily privacy, and that is a right that deals with being in states of undress. But again, this is not something that's coming from us. This is coming from the federal courts, from the Supreme Court, from the Western District of Pennsylvania, that have all said that right to bodily privacy, to not be viewed unclothed by someone of the opposite sex, is a fundamental right. And that's all these students are trying to assert in all of this. And so it's them and their parents. And obviously, you know, a lot of times parents step in on behalf of their children and try and protect these rights and to protect these rights to privacy. So I think this is a very common sense solution. Now, in terms of the accommodation, I think the New York Times last year estimated that the transgender population is about 0.3%. So statistically speaking, you've got a much larger percentage of students that are not transgender that have these privacy concerns. And so as the school is balancing all of these interests, it makes more sense for the accommodation to be offered to transgender students and to preserve these communal restrooms for the much larger percentage of students that want their bodily privacy protected. And again, the transgender student has the option of continuing to use the restroom of their biological sex like other students, or to use one of these numerous single-stall restrooms, changing areas, et cetera, that's available. And we want every student to have their privacy and dignity respected. And we think what laws and policies like federal courts have upheld is the best way to do that.
And we do know that transgender students are bullied. And Jason Landau Goodman, talk about the mental health benefits for transgender students, the physical and emotional mental impact of the policies that existed in the past and how the policies that are being put in place now are changing things.
So through the Pennsylvania Youth Congress, we work statewide with school board members, superintendents, LGBTQ students and allies to support these policies and practices. Just last week, Great Valley School District and Springfield Township School District were the first known districts in the state to adopt these policies. These policies have an immeasurable impact on the well-being, the mental health of trans students to have the baseline of their school community be inclusion and acceptance and access. I mean, that's at the end of the day what schools are meant to do, provide a platform for all students to have an education. These are public institutions and they should be accessible. And so when we're saying what is the impact on a student, I mean, it's again, immeasurable in terms of their ability to have academic success, to feel, I mean, through all the studies, you know, the impacts of society's discrimination towards trans individuals, to have these schools say you are accepted, you know, when you're dealing with suicidality or other issues, it's just, it helps incredibly to move us in a direction where society accepts and affirms trans individuals.
When Mr. Sharp expresses concerns on behalf of students who are saying, or at least saying to him, that they are uncomfortable with these policies, and certainly there, I don't think there's any doubt that there are some students who are there accommodations when he talks about the single individual, you know, private accommodations that would be set aside for transgender students, as in your view, are those effective enough? Is that addressing the issue in a fully positive way?
So I think we need to take a step back and say, where is the baseline here for accepting and affirming students and trans students? Is it exclusion, or is it saying that this is the platform where everyone have access and we'll make special accommodations, just like schools make accommodations on any sort of individual issue all the time? Are we saying that we're going to exile the trans students, or are we going to say we're going to include trans students in the mainstream student population, anyone who has an individualized issue that can be addressed? And that is, I think, where we're moving to as a society, to say, well, trans people have existed and are in our communities, and we must be with them. That's something that's coming up. We're standing in support of the trans students and the supportive community members in Pine Richland. And so just you've seen through the recent meetings some of these parents who are coming out and saying, you know, this is the tyranny of equality or separate but equal. Maybe we should go back to that. That's the rhetoric that is separating where this baseline is, and you're not hearing that from students. Every single student that has come and spoken at public forums has been in support of this inclusion, and those are the voices that need to be listened to the most.
So Matt Sharp, in response to what Jason Landau Goodman is saying, and Jason, correct me if I'm if I mischaracterize what you're saying, but what I'm getting from what you're expressing here is that that the policies that Mr. Sharp is advocating further stigmatize transgender students. And you're nodding yes. So, Matt Sharp, what about that concern that you're trying to accommodate the students, you're trying to come up with a solution that you feel is effective and satisfies everyone, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really satisfy the transgender students because they feel like they are being singled out and treated differently, which defeats the purpose?
Well, I think there's a fallacy of this idea that you can't protect privacy and stop bullying, that they are mutually exclusive, and that's just not the case. And we've actually seen numerous school districts across the country adopt these policies, and it works. And you end up with students that are comfortable with all of this, with schools that are properly enforcing their anti-bullying rules and policies so that no student is stigmatized or mocked or humiliated. And it's worth noting, Pennsylvania has a very strong anti-bullying statute on the books. Those statutes have been implemented at the local level and are effective. And school officials can enforce those, but they can also protect privacy. And so that's what we advocate, is let's strike the balance there, protecting this fundamental right to bodily privacy, to not be forced to shower or change in a locker room with someone of the opposite biological sex, while also prohibiting bullying and making sure that every student feels comfortable at school and is not harassed or bullied or anything like that. These are two things that schools can and do accomplish that we've seen successfully accomplished and that courts have likewise upheld to find to strike that proper balance. Again, at the University of Pittsburgh, the student was allowed to dress and use his chosen name and to enroll in male weightlifting classes and things like that. The student was given all of the opportunities and all of the benefits of school, but the University of Pittsburgh said, we've got to protect privacy, and the courts upheld that as striking the right balance.
Let me jump in here, because you are correct that, in fact, the federal court did do that, and that's a case that goes back 4 years that very well may be, based on recent events, overturned. But Jason Landau Goodman, you wanted to respond.
Yes, just to clarify a couple points. As you just mentioned, that case involved a student, Seamus Johnston, and just a couple weeks ago, it was settled on appeal in recognition of the incredible work that the school has done. I mean, just in recent articles, school administrators are saying, choose the bathroom that comports to your gender identity. This is the movement that has been put forward in the University of Pittsburgh and many other schools that, you know, we have to change. Further, just in terms of, you know, we would characterize probably that it's quite underhanded to say we support trans students, but we don't want them necessarily incorporated and included in our school, especially at the risk of bullying and harassment and intimidation. Pennsylvania has one of the weakest anti-bullying laws on the books. We have that from the United States Department of Education, recent survey of state policies. We're ranked in the bottom fourth in the country. That's why the Pennsylvania Youth Congress has drafted and leading efforts in Harrisburg for comprehensive reform on safe schools policies. But we cannot separate the idea that you are either with the community and you are together and included, and or you're going to be subject to harassment. Once you other a student, once you say you're not welcome and included and affirmed, you're saying there's something inherently wrong with you. That is absolutely in baseline of the conversation.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're discussing the issue of bathroom policies for transgender students. What should they be? How should they be implemented? The concerns that parents have. And we're talking with Devin Brown, a teacher at Brashear, also Jason Landau Goodman, executive director of the Pennsylvania Youth Congress, and Matt Sharp, legal counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Let's take a call from Maria in Pittsburgh at 412-246-2002. Maria, I know you've been waiting. Thank you for being patient. Go ahead.
Thank you. thank you. My question is a practical one. Obviously, anyone in my home would use my bathroom, transgender, gay, straight, black, white. But in multiple female or male bathroom, in the male bathroom, there are urinals. In the female bathroom, there are not. So if a transgender male identifies as a female and goes into the female bathroom, is the protocol that the lawyers are suggesting in a practical way, suggesting that the female bathrooms are now going to need urinals to accommodate functionally a male anatomy?
Okay, I think we get what you're asking, Maria, so I'm going to let Devin handle that. Go ahead.
Well, this is interesting. I usually don't have these conversations about specifically what happens in the bathroom, but people really just use the bathroom. I don't think anyone is going into the bathroom to do anything other than use the bathroom. So when Brashear students are using the bathroom, whether they're transgender or whether they're not transgender, they go in and do their business, and then they come out. And I don't really know specifically who's standing, sitting, doing what. That's not the issue. The issue is, are they going in and handling their business and moving on?
Jason.
And just in terms of when schools, if they were to transition a common bathroom with multiple stalls that has urinals into a gender-neutral bathroom with, very specific stalls, we see at many colleges, they'll actually just, remove the urinals, or they'll cover them with large permanent tarps, so that if you're using that bathroom, you're going to a stall. There's not a urinal issue. I think that was just a very specific question on that.
We're getting a little short on time here, so I want to ask about the importance of education. How important is education here, so that we're all understanding what's happening and how this works?
So education is paramount. We laid a lot of groundwork before the last 2 years began, before we started dealing with transgender issues as such an important piece of our policy. For the past 5 years, really, at Brashear, education has been a really key movement among the students. The Gay Straight Alliance, actually, we're the Gender Sexuality Alliance. So our GSA has been really instrumental at educating the rest of the students. So every year for the past 5 years, the GSA, a group of kids, goes in and meets with the ninth graders and talks about LGBT issues in general. That has laid a lot of the groundwork for the more open, tolerant, accepting atmosphere that has evolved at Brashear over the past 5 years. The GSA has worked with Brashear teachers and staff to do professional development about how to best support LGBT students in the classroom. We have worked as a school to make sure that we have we call it a point team, a team of teachers who are interested in this issue, administration, health and phys ed teachers, social workers, nurses, counselors, and especially security. Security is really important here, to make sure they have extra education about transgender issues so they know how to best support these students from a school standpoint. And there's also enough people. We have about 20 people on our point team. There are enough people that throughout our very large school, there's pretty much someone down every corridor who's had extra training on transgender issues, so that pretty much any teacher can turn to someone in their corridor and say, hey, I have a question about whatever it is. And creating an atmosphere where you can ask those kind of questions is really important. The district has spent a lot of time for the past 5 or 6 years working on how to talk about race in a way that people feel safe doing it. Those same tools that we've been using, we use those at Brashear. The same protocols we use to talk about issues of race, we use those to talk about LGBT issues.
Okay, we are going to extend this discussion to the end of the program. I do want to get Matt Sharp's reaction, and as we go to the break, Mr. Sharp, I would have you consider what Devin Brown has just said, and whether that works for you. And we'll put that question to you when we come back. We're talking about the issue of bathroom policies for transgender students with Devin Brown, a teacher at Brashear, Jason Landau-Goodman of the Pennsylvania Youth Congress, and also Matt Sharp, legal counsel for the group Alliance Defending Freedom. We'll take your calls at 412-246-2002, time permitting. When we return, this is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're discussing the issue of bathroom policies for transgender students with Devin Brown, a teacher at Brashear, which has implemented a policy for transgender students. Also, Devin Brown is with us. I just mentioned him. Jason Landau Goodman also is with us. He's executive director of the Pennsylvania Youth Congress, statewide LGBT youth organization, and Matt Sharp, legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. And when we went to break, Devin Brown had expressed his philosophy and feelings regarding the implementation of this policy. And I wanted to give Matt Sharp a chance to react. And based on what you've heard from the two gentlemen in our studio, has that moved you at all on your thoughts about this policy?
Well, I think it was interesting, especially to hear Devin about all of the administrators and teachers and others and groups and all these assemblies and meetings going on with students, all with this idea of LGBT issues and really pushing the idea that sex is no longer determined by biology, but it's your gender identity, it's your subjective feelings, and it's fluid and it's changeable and all of this. And I look at that and I go back to a point I said earlier. If you're a student at that school that feels uncomfortable with losing your constitutional right to bodily privacy, is this an atmosphere where you're going to feel comfortable standing up and saying, I'm not comfortable with this? Or is this an atmosphere where the prevailing idea is, sit down and be quiet and get used to it, this is the way things are going? And that's why I say these policies that protect every student's privacy are important, because there is an effort to change this idea that sex no longer means one's biology, but is rather this fluid gender identity thing. And we've got to make sure that no student ever loses their right to privacy, their right to bodily privacy, as this movement is being pushed on students.
Okay, so let's let our guests respond to that. And we are really, really running tight on time, gentlemen, so I would ask you to keep your answers as succinct as possible. Devin, let's start with you, Devin Brown.
I think it's really important that I don't think the GSA, none of us are pushing a policy. We're looking for ways to support our kids. The GSA feels really strongly about this. These are kids who feel passionately about this issue, not just this issue, but making sure that everyone at Brashear is safe. And this extends to not just LGBT students, but to our students who are immigrants, our students who don't speak English at home, our students who have disabilities. And they make that clear in every presentation that they do, whether it's to ninth grade students or whether it's to adults in the building. So this is about making Brashear a place where everyone feels safe, where everyone feels supportive, where everyone feels like a family.
And how has it worked at Brashear?
It's worked really well.
You've been doing this for 2 years now.
Well, we've been doing it really for 5 years. We've had the transgender policy in place for 2 years now, but the previous 3 years, thanks to many awesome teachers that I work with and a great leadership in the building, we've done a lot of work on LGBT issues in general, which I think made this process of supporting transgender students in specific a lot easier.
And Jason, let's let you have the final word here.
The progress being made to support trans students, this is an arc toward justice that is inevitable. And we are just really right now seeing how this is transitioning from policy into this, from practice into the policy across the state. And we look forward to working hopefully soon with the School Board Association, with the Pennsylvania Department of Education to really help make sure this gets out to the 500 school districts across the Commonwealth. This is not just Pittsburgh. This is not just Pine Richland. This is an important conversation and mechanism that we need to ensure that is enacted across the state through policy to support trans students, and it is happening right now.
And one last thing very quickly before we wrap this up. This has been identified as a civil rights issue, and it's been compared to the civil rights issues of the past, particularly when it comes to racial equality. Is that an accurate and fair comparison as far as you're concerned, Devin?
Absolutely, and I think anyone who sat down and spent time with some of the students that I see on a daily basis would feel the same way. These are students who just want to be who they really are. They don't want to feel oppressed in our building. They want to feel like they're part of the building.
Well, I want to thank all of the gentlemen who took part in our discussion today. That was Devin Brown, a teacher at Brashear, an advisor for the school's Gay-Straight Alliance. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Also, Jason Landau-Goodman, executive director of the Pennsylvania Youth Congress, a statewide LGBT youth organization. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And Matt Sharp, he's legal counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom. And Matt Sharp, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great discussion.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, of course, we'll have those election results for you. And Jimmy Beaumont of the Skyliners, they're being recognized as rock and roll legends. Jimmy Beaumont joins us live. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.